This morning, I want to share a scripture with you, a message that I hope will be very relevant. The title of it is just simply this, and I hope to want to answer the question in the message today to this question of, should Christians judge? Should Christians judge? And in this one, I'm going to ask if you have your Bible, if you'd like to follow along, give you several scriptures. Thank God for technology and for willing hearts who are back there to put them on the screen so you can see them on your device, whatever it may be, TV, phone, computer. But if you have your Bible and you'd like to follow along, the first scripture I'd like to ask you to turn to is found in James chapter 4. And before I read that one, I want to make an announcement here. All of you parents, maybe grandparents, I want to start doing something. I already have something in mind, and I've set it up for next week. I want to take a few minutes of every broadcast where we have like a kids connection. And so if you have a son, daughter, grandchildren, if you know of kids and want to spread the word, please do so. And we have an artist here, a couple of them in the church, and one of them actually drew three coloring pages for something I want to share next week. In fact, I printed one off and colored myself Friday night. And so I want to encourage you, I'll have those up, God willing, at least by Saturday of this week. So before Sunday, if you want to print them off and let the kids follow along. I told him, I said, I think some of the adults will probably want to color too. But we also have a special guest I've lined up, and I hope you'll be able to join in next week for those few minutes. We'll probably do like, you know, have a little time of worship and then have the time of the kids' connection and then just continue on. So we want the kids to be involved, certainly the youth, everyone, seniors, everyone to be involved. I think everyone will be blessed. So I just want to put that out there. I'll try to remember to send out an email this week to remind you, but I just want to encourage you to tune in next week to share in that time. Should Christians judge? Yes and no. And before I create a bunch of confusion, let me say it depends on how the word is used. We'll put a couple of verses up here so you can follow along. But there are a couple different words that are used in the original language, and we may see them in English as the word judge, but they mean a little something different, and that matters. The first one here is in 1 Corinthians. Before I read the scripture there in James, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, there are two verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. I want to call your attention to these verses because the Bible says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, the natural man, that means someone who has not yet been born again of God's Spirit, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for the things of God's Spirit are foolishness to him, nor can he know them. Someone without God's Spirit, until that time, we can't really experience those truths and things of God's Spirit because we don't have His Spirit within us yet. Of course, that can change as soon as we say yes to Jesus as Lord. But it says, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. If you notice that word discerned, just if you keep that in mind, and we'll go on to the next verse. Verse 15 says, but he who is spiritual judges all things. Notice that now. The scripture says that he who is spiritual judges all things. I know there's a popular verse that says, judge not. And some people, if you don't know any verses out of the Bible at all, you might know that one. And of course, for those of us who are parents, you know the one related to kids. Kids, honor your parents. But and we'll see that verse where it says we're not to judge. But in this one, I just wanted you to see that verse 14 where it says discerned is the same word translated judged in 15. So someone who is spiritual judges or discerns all things. So if someone were to say, should Christians judge? I would say, yes, Christians are to discern. Christians are to be discerning. Then we'll look at this scripture in James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse number 11. James 4:11 says this, do not speak evil of one another. Brethren, he's speaking to Christians here, he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother, notice that, they're linked together. It says, if you speak evil of your brother and judge your brother, you're speaking evil. We are speaking evil of the law and judging the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. So the judgment that we're not to do is, Christians or followers of Jesus are not to speak evil of one another. In fact, one translation actually words it like this. It says, if you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. Now, this word here in James 4:11, judge, is a little different word from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This word has a real broad meaning. It can mean to judge in general, but it can also mean very specifically to condemn. And that's the kind of judgment that we're not to do, because there is only one who is the authority and the right to do that type of judgment. So again, yes, Christians are to discern. Christians are not to speak evil of others in the sense of just condemning and criticizing. In fact, verse 10 says this, right before he says not to speak evil of one another and judge one another, he says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. This type of judgment comes from pride that tends to look down on others and condemn and criticize, and it can come across, as people say, holier than thou, like people don't measure up to us. And so that's the type of judging that we're not to do. We're to humble ourselves and not speak evil of one another, not to condemn and judge each other in that kind of way. And then one more scripture here in that passage, verse 12. Please notice these words, James 4:12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? So in that sense, we're not to judge. And I would even say it like this. If someone said, Brother Rocky, how, you know, should Christians judge? I would say, discern, don't destroy. Yes, Christians are to discern. Remember, the spiritual discerns all things. We're to be discerning, but we don't want to judge others or criticize and condemn others in a way that has a destructive effect, because what that does is it ends up damaging people rather than drawing people to the Lord. So when we come across in that just that harsh, judgmental, condemning, accusing way that so many times is birthed out of pride, It tends to lead people away. In fact, some people aren't really tired of Jesus, but let's be honest, they can be tired of us riding their back and getting on them about things. And so, again, there is a place we're to discern. I'll show you that in just a moment. But I would word it like this even. I believe it can be the difference between what you did was a wrong thing, this was a wrong action, and you're a wrong person. So it's like, rather than this act was bad, you're bad. And it comes across that way to where we can feel like, I'll never measure up, I'm an inferior person, I'm no good, rather than this was something wrong that I did. And I can address the problem. We can attack the problem rather than attacking the person. Jesus says this in John chapter 7, back over in the Gospel of John chapter 7, because now we'll get into directly into the words of Jesus himself that he speaks here. And the Bible says, just as one verse, John chapter 7 and verse 24. Again, I would like to if you're hearing, I don't know if you hear that or not, our brothers and sisters here behind us, there's a church right here across the street. They're doing a little drive-in service today. And since they can't hear you say amen, they honk the horn when they hear something good. So if you hear the horn honking, the pastor must have said something really good. they're encouraging on there. So anyway, if you can hear that, that's what it is. It's a blessing. Thank God we can gather as we're able. So in John chapter 7 and verse 24, Jesus says this, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Don't judge just by what you can see or what you can think. You know, we're not to judge on our limited understanding, just on what we can see with our eyes. But he says to judge with righteous judgment. That's why I want to come back to that discern, don't destroy. Discern, don't destroy. Because discernment is important in every area of life. If anyone tries to live without discernment, you're going to suffer. You're going to pay the price. In fact, many of us could say, if I were to ask you, has a lack of discernment ever cost you in some way? many of us would say, yeah, I can relate. I've made some bad decisions. I've made some choices. I pursued some actions, and they weren't very wise. I wish I would have been more discerning before I took that course, before I made that decision, or before I did that thing. So we can relate, yes, discern, but don't destroy. So righteous judgment. But what is righteous judgment? Does that just mean, well, it's what I feel, what I think is right, that's right, and you have your truth and I have my truth? Well, again, let's allow the Lord to direct us. And here over in John chapter 12, verse 46, John chapter 12, Jesus again is speaking, and he begins this section here in verse 46 when he says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge or to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's powerful truth. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and we all qualify on that one. But then he goes on and he says this in verse 48. He says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Righteous judgment. Remember what Jesus said, don't judge by appearance, judge with righteous judgment. Righteous judgment is based on God's righteous standard, his word. In other words, he sets the standard for what is equitable. He sets the standard for what is moral. And what he sets as his eternal truth, no human has the authority to change. No institution, no government, no church has the authority to change the eternal truth of God's word. Our part is just to believe and to receive. We don't judge God's word. Ultimately, God's word will judge us. And the scripture says that even at the end, toward the in the last book of the Bible, it says that those who have not believed will be separated from God forever. And their judgment is based on because they simply didn't believe. And even for Christians, we will be judged by how we lived as followers of Jesus. And we can gain or lose rewards for all eternity by how we live right now. It's how important it is. So discern, don't destroy. So we live our lives. If we're going to be, well, let me say it this way, since we're going to be judged, not if, since we're going to be judged by God's word, shouldn't we live by God's word? It would be a wise thing to do to seek to order our lives according to God's powerful truths. And I'll say this, I want to make sure there's no misunderstanding. If we live by the truth of God's word, if you've lived as a Christian for any length of time, you know we will still have our battles. We will still have our times of discouragement. We will still have opposition. We're going to face challenges, and we're going to face all of these things, obstacles. It comes with just living in this life that has been marred in a world broken by sin. But if we will be obedient to God's word, brothers and sisters, we will experience a fullness of God's grace and a fullness of his blessing that disobedience can never enjoy. So discern, don't destroy. I want to share an account with you from back in the Old Testament book of 1 Kings chapter 13. This stood out so much to me of an unnamed prophet. The account here doesn't give the man's name, but the Bible says that God gave this. He was a man of God, and he learned the hard way on a lack of discernment. But see, God records these things in his word, so we don't have to learn the hard way. We can learn by the examples of others and by the truth he has given us. And in 1 Kings chapter 13, the Bible says this in verse 1. It says, behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord. And Jeroboam, who was the king of that northern kingdom there, stood by the altar to burn incense. See, what happened is the people, and really this king, the leader, set up a false idol, basically a false altar there where he was, because at this time in the nation of Israel, there was like a civil war. They had split in north and south, and God told a prophet from the south to go to the northern part and say, judgment is going to come to this altar because of the idolatry that the people are practicing here. So the man of God goes there, and the Bible says this. In verse 4, he goes and it says, "So it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God who cried out against the altar." This man cried out against that altar and the idolatry that was practiced. It says that he stretched out his hand from the altar and said, "Arrest him." Now, this is how, so here's the king, and a prophet comes up and he cries out against this altar. And he said, "This altar is going to split apart, and the bones of these false prophets, they're going to be burned. And, you know, his judgment is coming." And the king said, "Arrest this man." And when he went to point to this prophet, his hand withered like this, and he couldn't even pull it back to his body. And that king went from saying, "Arrest him," to, "Pray for me." And the prophet did. He entreated the Lord. The prophet prayed for him, and God touched his hand and he healed him, and his hand was restored. And then the king said, "Hey, come home with me and I'll reward you." But notice what the man of God had to answer him. The Bible says this in verse 8. It says, "But the king," or the man of God, "said to the king, 'If you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor eat bread and drink water in this place,'" verse 9, "'for so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord.'" Notice that the word of the Lord told him this. It says, "You shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came." You can't stop to get anything to eat or drink in here. Go give them my message and then leave. Don't even go home the same way you went. And so that's what he did. In verse 10, it says he went another way, didn't return by the way he came. But here is the issue. We read about another man in this chapter just a few verses later, and he is a prophet, or at least he has the title of a prophet. And he heard about what happened. His sons told him, and this older prophet said, "Where is he? I want to meet this man. I want to get to meet him and see what he is like." So he went and chased him down. They found out where he was. He tracked him down on his way back home. And this older prophet met him and he said, "Hey, come back and be with me." And notice what he says. Let's pick it up again in verse 18. Verse 18, because the man of God, the first man of God, the younger man said, "I can't, because the word of the Lord told me." And this, notice what he says, verse 18. "So this older man said, 'I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me.'" Wow. "An angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord saying, 'Bring him back with you to your house that he may eat bread and drink.' But he was lying to him." And this prophet, he was a good man, but he lacked discernment in this case. And instead of going with what he knew God had told him, he allowed someone else to influence him. That's what I'm saying about discernment. He allowed someone else to influence him, and he ends up going back to this prophet who lied to him, who said, "Hey, an angel told me, you come on back. It's all right. You come back and eat with me." He goes back. And he eats with this man, he drinks, and he has a time there with this man and his sons. But then here's what happened. When he leaves to go back home, verse 23, it says, "So it was after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled his donkey, and the prophet whom he had brought back says, when he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him." Isn't that so sad that here this man, he could have been safely home, but because he didn't discern and he went against what God's word said, he was tragically killed by a lion. And it reminds me of one that the scripture tells us in 1 Peter 5:8. He says, "Be sober, be watchful, be alert, because your adversary," not just the adversary, "your adversary, the devil, walks about," notice, "like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Brothers and sisters, we need discernment of God's Holy Spirit to avoid being devoured in any way by this, I call him a false lion, but he still can roar and he can deceive, and that's what he wants to do. Let me go back to the New Testament here in Matthew chapter 7, because these are the popular words that many people are familiar with as we looked at just a couple more scriptures here. Matthew chapter 7, this is Jesus speaking here. And he says this in verse 1. Remember, discern, don't destroy. "Judge not," Matthew 7, 1, "judge not that you be not judged." Now, these are very sobering words that he is going to speak to us. He says, "For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." I think maybe we all have it. Maybe it's just a little bit of our human tendency. Maybe some of us struggle with it a little more than others. I don't know. But the potential is there for all of us to just accuse, to criticize, to condemn, to put others down based on not just the standard of God's word, but based on our own preferences and how it comes across from us. Again, it can be destructive. So we want to do it. I'm sure we've all, well, I'll say it this way. I'm sure many of us have been on both the receiving end of the painful, destructive words and been on the giving end of the painful, destructive words. So I pray this would just be a quickening to us, that when we have that tendency to just accuse or to just, you know, condemn and criticize, that we would be wise. And instead of just kind of, you know, bashing people and coming across in a destructive way, like speaking evil, as James says, that we would seek to do it in a wise way that would have a drawing effect to the Lord. Ultimately, only God can change a heart anyway. Ultimately, it's only God in His grace, but thank God He can. Thank God He does. He doesn't give up on us. But we don't want to be such hard judges, because that will come back to us. And then the Bible says this in verse 3. Again, Jesus speaking. I want to keep it in context, because some people, all they know is, judge not. And that's not all that Jesus said. So yeah, we're not to condemn and criticize, speak evil of others in that way, but we are to discern. And he points it out in verse 3. He says, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye?" You know, Jesus, his earthly father, was a carpenter. And I don't know if he was maybe thinking back on some of his experiences growing up. And he thinks, you know, he relates this speck like a splinter and contrasts it to a big log, a beam. And he says in verse 4, "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, there's a plank in your own eye?" And there are other scriptures that deal with judgment. We won't take the time to go into it. But let's be aware that what we find real easy to condemn and criticize in others may reveal something in our own heart that needs God's grace and healing. I want to say that again. What we find easy to focus on and condemn and criticize in others, that little splinter, may reveal something of our own heart that needs God's grace and healing, that God may see more as a big beam and a log within our own eye. So as we would come before the Lord, just be willing to humble ourselves to say, "Lord, search me, seek me, show me, Lord, if I need something here, if I need correction, if I need healing, if I need grace. And Lord, I want to receive grace so that, yes, there's a time to speak a word by God's Holy Spirit that can be corrective, but we want to do it by God's Spirit and not just kind of like, you know, coming across in a way that ends up turning people more away from the Lord than drawing them to Him." So he goes on in, then he says this in verse 5, "Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly." Keep that in mind, please. "Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So that again teaches discernment. We are to discern. We just want to make sure that we're seeing clearly ourselves, because we're not just basing our judgment on how we think, feel, or whatever, but we're judging it on God's righteous standard and for His discernment. Remember that, please. Should Christians judge? Yes and no. Discern, don't destroy. Because he goes on in verse 15. Verse 15 says this, still John 7, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You will know them by their fruits." We need to discern by God's word. We are to judge in that way. We need to discern by God's Holy Spirit, because it's how we will see clearly to recognize fruit. Because Jesus said in the days before He returns, there's going to be widespread deception. Brothers and sisters, we need discernment to avoid deception. And we need to know how to discern righteously and rightly so that we do not put God's stamp of approval on something that He does not approve. And again, it's being willing to look at our own hearts and lives first. So yes, we can speak a word, a caring, even a corrective word by God's Spirit, But let's just simply be willing to humble ourselves, examine our own heart, and even examine our own motive first to say, Lord, is there something in me that needs to be healed? Is there an area in my life in need of grace? And then receive. If the Lord points out something to you, is this area or that area? It's not to condemn, it's to correct. Go ahead and receive that word. Receive God's mercy, receive His forgiveness, receive His grace and healing, because it's really a test of our spirituality. I want to close here in just a moment in 1 Corinthians 11, but I want to read this one scripture first to you. Should Christians judge? Notice what the Bible says. We can put it up for you. It's Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. For those of you watching there, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, notice that. Remember, the spiritual judges or discerns all things. You who are spiritual, this is a test of our own spirituality, our own heart motive and Christ-likeness. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness or meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So, yes, here's someone, they're doing wrong, they've fallen even. Our heart is first to, if we really want to be like Jesus, our first step is to seek to restore. Yes, bring them to the Lord, bring them to repentance, not to just kick them when they're down and push them away, but to draw them to have an effect. Again, we should never approve of anything that is sinful according to God's standard, but we don't want to just bash people when they've fallen either. We're all in need of God's grace, all in need of God's mercy, and He has abundant grace for us all. I really don't believe there's anyone too far gone, unless the Lord says so, that they cannot be reached. The man who wrote about half the New Testament said he was the chief of sinners. And if God has already saved him, then there is hope for us all. God has grace and He is able to save to the uttermost. I'll close with this scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because again, we want to come to the table of communion today, come to the table of the Lord. And the Bible says when we come to the table, that we come and we examine ourselves. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, it says, let a man examine himself. So let's examine ourselves today as we come to be with the Lord, to fellowship, commune with Him, and commune with one another, whether it's over the social media or right there, maybe with some people where you are, a handful of us here. So he says, let a man examine himself, and then let him eat the bread and drink the cup. The purpose of examining ourselves is not to keep us away. It's so that we come, so that we partake of the body of the Lord and the blood of the Lord in that sense, in the right way, that we receive all that God has provided for us through His perfect Son and the perfect sacrifice He made for us at Calvary. And the Bible says this in verse 31. Again, I want to point out these two words. In the New King James Translation, it says, for if we would judge ourselves, that's examine. If we would examine ourselves, the Bible says that we would not be judged. In other words, we're not condemned. And the next verse actually goes on and speaks about that, that the Lord knows how to correct us. If there's an area that needs to be corrected, He will show us and reveal it to us in love. But I can tell you what it won't be. It will not be, you're a bad person, you're worthless, you're no good. It will not come across that way. It will be, no, that was a lie you told. That was an unkind word. This is malice or whatever it could be. It will be very specific so that we can repent of it, receive God's mercy, and stay close to the Lord. That's how you can tell. Is it the devil's condemnation or the Lord's goodness and mercy drawing us closer so that there's nothing between us? So he says that we examine ourselves and we, in that sense, discern, we judge ourselves. But brothers and sisters, I want to point this out to you. We come to the table today, if we know the Lord, if Jesus is our Lord and we are a believer and follower of Jesus, then we come to the table today to receive as sons and daughters of our Father. We do not come as outcasts. And in fact, even if you don't know the Lord, you want to. You want to be in the family, you're invited to the table. All you have to do is simply just believe the testimony of Scripture that we've all sinned. Our sin separates us from God, But God loved us so much that he bridged that gap of separation by sending Jesus to die on a cross. He willingly laid his life down and paid for every wrong thing you and I have ever done. When we partake of communion, he said, do this in memory of me. We come before him grateful for taking our punishment for us. And we come to that place where God's Spirit draws us to say, yes, I believe, I receive Jesus as my Lord. You're adopted, you're in. The old is past, condemnation is gone, and you are free in Jesus. You come to the table to receive today a full-fledged member of God's family. And so let's come today as we come, and I want to invite the worship team to just come back up and just begin to play. And just again, as we share in this time together, I'll close in prayer in just a moment. But I just want to ask you again, would you search your heart and just thank God? If you know him, you're not going to be condemned with the world. In fact, you're not condemned with the world. You already accepted in Christ. And so thank God today. But let's come to receive. Let's receive his mercy. Let's receive his grace. I want to say this. Let's receive his shalom. Receive his peace. That's just not absence of conflict. It's wholeness. Brothers and sisters, receive his wellness today. In spite of what may be going on around you, receive shalom in your spirit. Receive shalom in your heart and mind today. Receive his empowerment. Receive his love. And I want to say this to you too. Receive his victory. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Father, we come with grateful hearts today. Lord, we all can see areas where we've fallen short. I'm thankful that you're not a God of condemnation. You're a God of grace and mercy. You don't excuse wrongdoing. You already punished it on the cross with your son 2,000 years ago. And yes, there are consequences for disobedience now. But Lord, we just want to receive forgiveness. We want to receive it's a new beginning. It's a new day. Help us just to receive your heart today and all that you provided for us. And we want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for your fullness. I pray that you would empower us by your Spirit, that we could be joyful witnesses for you in a dark world in which we shine. Lord, thank you for your call on our lives and have your way. Lord, I pray for healing to manifest in people's hearts, in people's bodies as we share in this time of communion. Let there be reconciliation, empowerment, and strength. We come against cancer in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come against even depression and discouragement in the name of Jesus and take authority over those, Lord, all of those things that are not of you. Lord, we want to just receive freely today in Jesus' name.